Attack Zone, Episode 4, Oh Canada! What is up, everybody? This is Dave here for the Attack Zone, bringing you the A to Z of competitive dice masters. What you are about to hear is audio from Canadian Nationals. That's right, this past weekend, you might know JT Randy as well as Stuart all went up to the Great White North to test their mettle. JT wanted to defend his title, all of them did quite well. Randy finished top four, and all of three of them actually made top eight. So what follows is audio from them. You're going to hear some guests. You're going to hear their thoughts. Check it out, and we will see you otherwise in 2 weeks.
Randy and JT here from Montreal. We made it. The flights, you know, delivered us safely. I did get pulled aside and questioned as to why I was coming into the country. I don't know. I guess my response of "I'm here to take a national championship" seemed a little suspicious.
Yeah, I actually got yelled at for waiting in the wrong spot while Randy was being pulled aside. I thought he was getting strip searched. I didn't know if I was going to lose him or what.
but we made it, and we actually met our good buddy Stuart here in the hotel.
Yeah, and for those of you who haven't yet had a chance to meet Stuart, he's cooler in real life than I even had imagined. So, really glad that we got a chance to meet him and hang out with him a little bit last night. Looking forward to the rest of the time. And you'll probably hear from him later.
Yeah. We're going to go hunt down some breakfast, talk a little strategy, and get the game plan going for today. We have the main event scheduled and hopefully plenty of time for some side event drafting.
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, so the three of us, Randy, Stewart, and JT here, we're going to do a quick rundown of this place we're staying, what we expect to see, what we're running here in the first qualifier, and try and keep it short as we do this in multiple segments. So, first off, we're at the Hotel Espresso, which is a reasonably nice place. I'm happy with our room. The setup is great. The guys from Carta Magica have done a great job. Shout out to TRP user The Royal Falcon, who competed in last year's Canadian Nationals and then is TOing this one. And so had a brief conversation with him this morning. It was good to reconnect with him after meeting him last year. And so that's been good. As far as what we expect to see here today, I'll go ahead and ask Randy first. What do you think we're going to see?
Well, we really have no idea what scale this tournament's going to be. Even the Royal Falcon said he had no idea how many people to expect for today. So, I mean, it could be a dozen people. It could be, 40, 50 people. We're not going to know till, the event kicks off. As far as teams go, I mean, ring teams have been popular. I think we're going to continue to see a bunch of ring teams. That's probably what I'm most concerned about. What do you think, Stuart?
I'm also expecting to see some Bard, and I would not be shocked if we saw more Batman teams, especially since the Ottawa guys are coming down, and they worked on it a lot, and I've seen it at every tournament I've been to since, so I'm expecting to see definitely that, and probably some kind of modified Bard or a quick turn three Alpha Strike, some kind of version of that, whether it's similar to JT's that he ran last weekend or something new that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
I wonder a little bit about how much Civil War we'll see. I mean, I expect to see Ronin. Maybe expect to see a little bit of Venom. I think Long Live the Resistance as a basic action makes a splash. Anything else you guys think of that we think we might see?
Maybe a Speedball.
Yep.
I mean, he's good in draft. I think he might see competitive play here. But, I mean, this is the first event where Civil War is legal. This is the new era.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised to see on a Batman team the rare Baron Zemo, since they're going to be buying their Dark Avengers. And that'll give them, not the Dark Avenger sets that off, but it's KOing something. So, with that engine with Alfred to get all that stuff going, it's an easy addition to get in unblockable damage with your Batman.
A 3-cost unblockable character that already has its engine on another team. That's
So, what are we running today, guys?
Well, I'm straight ripping off Stuart, running his team. It's a Gobby Parallax team. I think the only difference between me and Stuart is he's running Phoenix that has the Taunt Global, and I'm running the rare Scarecrow. But, I mean, just get the sidekicks out, get the damage.
Yeah, so Stuart and I have a qualification. It'd be nice to pick up another one just kind of, you know, for funsies. But really, Randy's got to get qualified for Sunday night. So we talked about this last night. I think something that you know how to pilot and is strong, vulnerable to a couple things, but overall strong, is probably the right call. I'm going to modify the best there is team that I ran last weekend. Maybe get a little bit more consistency out of it. Maybe not. I don't know. It's fun. Games tend to either be over quick one way or the other. Cause it can fall apart if you get a sidekick that first turn, as I've talked about with a couple other folks who've tried to play test a little bit with it. It can fall apart fast. And, you know, I know that, but, it's a whole lot of fun to try and pilot and navigate that. And if it does fall apart, it's a significant challenge to recover, and I think that'll be fun to run today. So, all in all, I think we're pretty excited about today. Should have some other guys here in about half an hour to maybe fire off a draft before that qualifier. And so shout out to those Ottawa guys. By the time this hits, we will have met you, and maybe what I'm about to say won't hold true, but really looking forward to it and hanging out with you guys a little bit. So. Maybe we'll edit that part out. Maybe we won't. We'll see.
We're not doing any edits this weekend.
Cut and paste. Cut and paste. All right. We're going to sign off. Thanks a lot.
Bye. All right. We are back in the room. We just had day one qualifier wrap up, and we are here with a couple of guests. Go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Kevin, Draco Lynch on the reserve pool.
Petrus, also Unknown Force.
Mike, or Judgmental, on the reserve pool.
Eric, Super Enrico 23 on the reserve.
And Jason. Nothing on the reserve pool yet. Sorry. I know I'm ashamed.
That's all right. Also, JT and Stuart are here. So we are, we're with these guys. This is a crew from Ottawa who drove up today, drove out yesterday, I guess, spent the night playing today, playing tomorrow. And so really just kind of want to toss it to you guys and ask about your scene a little bit. So Phil... fill listeners in on the scene in Ottawa.
Sure. About, I guess, a year ago, it just started picking up. There was maybe one place to play weekly, and then one of my friends started an event as well, a second one. And then that's where things kind of started rolling. I got into the game then. My brother helped me get into the game at that point.
That friend was my brother.
There you go. The game. So your brother, and then as it went on, you know, we kind of grew. It went from 2 nights a week to now about 4 nights a week, some weeks 5.
Wow.
So you know, we play a lot of OPs.
That's awesome. So this is maybe right around the time, like right after Canadian Nationals last year?
Exactly. Right after Canadian Nationals.
Okay. So how did you guys, I mean, you all rode over here together, right? So was that just by convenience, or do you typically play test together? Because, I mean, the five of you, like, that's a pretty solid team, solid core.
I'd say there's a few different branches of us. We all talk together whenever we get together at tournaments, but there's little batches of three or four who had been friends prior to the game, and they stuck together, I'd say,
okay,
to create the smaller groups, and then we end up smashing together at tournaments.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking the best of the best, and then combining ideas that way.
Okay. So, like, when, again, this is being the attack zone, we kind of want to focus on improving play. Do you guys have specific strategies when you get together, like the three of you? So I'll refer to the three of you. So Eric, Mike, and Kevin, you guys were the three who brought the quote-unquote Bard Blitz to the WKO. That was hosted in
Ottawa,
and that was like Easter Sunday, right? So that's been a couple months now, or pushing a couple months, I guess. So, like, you three specifically, I assume you play test together a lot. Is that true?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. So, do you have specific strategies that you would share? Not necessarily about cards or whatever, but strategies about how to elevate your level of play. That's a broad question, I know.
Very broad question.
But I'm kicking it to you anyway.
One thing I'll say is play a lot, play everything, and be open to suggestion. Like, if people are offering you advice in a game and ask you, you know, shouldn't you have done that? Even though you're sure of your play, you're sure what you did was right, sometimes it just takes considering it a moment to say, hey, maybe that was a better route. Mm. And I think that listening to players that are, they're, you know, good pilots, it helps you become a better pilot.
I feel as the three of us, one of the best things that we've done to, like, help improve certain teams especially is when somebody really thinks they've got a vibe on something that's a good combination of cards or a full set of eight guys and the two actions, they'll say, hey, I've got this. This is what I've been thinking. This would be my basic strategy. Come and beat it. Do whatever you can to beat me. Build a team completely designed to counter the eight worst possible cards I could see and show me what all my worst-case scenarios would be. Mm. And then I can decide whether the team is worth working through those struggles or whether it needs a change to improve upon those kind of matchups.
That is excellent. That yeah, really yeah, is, you guys. Awesome. That's a cool thing to think of.
I'm not always practicing with them. I don't get to go out to as many tournaments, but, like, Mike comes over all the time, and the one thing that we'll do is we'll play two or three teams against each other, and then after that, we'll discuss what could have been changed, what could be different. And then sometimes we'll just take the table and turn it around. And that way we can see other ideas that are coming on the same team, so that way you get a different view of your own team and something that you might not have thought of.
I like that. I like that hot wash idea, and then turn the table and do it again. That's cool. Yeah.
So with 10 sets out and 11 come Wednesday, how often do you guys go back and reread cards from previous sets? Or do you have even cards now that you're like, all right, well, when this gets printed, like when something that does this, then this is going to be awesome?
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened with me in Squirrel Girl. As soon as I saw the Squirrel Girl card, my mind just opened up. I had so many ideas and all that. And then I told Mike, and he's like, I don't think so. And I started going through all the things that I thought would be good with it. And then he came to the same realization.
I can see.
Yes, okay, she's good. We need to figure out how to get this card now. And then figure it out from there. Another thing for figuring out your plays, we often do, is we'll match teams up together. I mean, when we made Bard Blitz, the Ring Res engine was actually on our Gobby team that we had come up with. And we were using with Gobby to get Torch and Gobby really fast. And we just got that cycle going, and we were like, hey, what other teams can we put this on? And we just kind of went from there.
So, like, taking elements from one and just putting it on the next one.
Exactly.
Cool. I think for past cards, I think we just have a good memory. I think, you know, like, a lot of it's just constantly going through transition zone, you know, and looking at other team builds. You know, sometimes you look at a build and be like, wow, that person played Slifer, for example. Yeah. And be like, wow, I haven't thought of that card in a long time. I wonder if I can use it.
And man, if that app charged by the minute, I'd be broke.
Right? Me too. Yeah. Me too, totally.
Always
totally on there.
Yeah.
My team list on Retrobox now is, oh, I have to start scrolling for all the lists that are saved. Same. Just to keep going.
Yeah, so regarding today, we don't need to get into the specifics, maybe, unless you want to. But two of you guys were in the finals. So I'd like to pick your brain a little bit on, A, how you think the day went, what you faced that you thought you would, and what you faced that you thought you wouldn't. And then, you know, just kind of walk us through maybe a little bit of what it's like to play someone in your test group for the finals.
I saw more Gobby Parallax than I thought I would today. good job, Randy, and all that. That's Randy and Stuart played that today, and we had another couple Gobby teams that had Parallax on it on top of that. So there's a lot more of that today than I expected. As for playing in the finals, that was a rematch from our WKO. Of course, we weren't playing the same team this time. Played Mass Spring and a new version of our Blitz. It was a lot of fun. It felt maybe one-sided at one point, but that happens, you know, roles and who goes first, all these little things, they make the game what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one thing is, I didn't play anyone that wasn't from Ottawa today.
Oh,
so
wow.
A lot of the teams I've played I knew what was coming.
You've seen him before.
Yeah. And this being the day before the Nationals, maybe people aren't bringing out those surprise teams yet. They're just playing what we're used to seeing and whatnot. So I'm looking forward to tomorrow, maybe, for new stuff.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff today was kind of what I expected.
And,
yeah.
I will say one thing. I mean, in the group of players I talked to and what I've seen in local scene, I haven't really seen anyone use Squirrel Girl as much as I saw today. That really opened up my eyes to, you know, the potential of that card. I mean, it's one of those, okay, in theory, it's good. I haven't unlocked it yet. I don't know how to use it. And that's something that I was opened up to today, for sure.
We'll show you more.
I hope not too much. Yeah.
You can show us tomorrow morning, not tomorrow night. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we save it for the night.
Yeah.
So, another thing I guess I want to ask, we're going to have to edit this because this is bad.
The No Edit Podcast!
I'll edit it, Randy.
Okay.
We'll throw it on at the end. So, you guys, there's a smaller group today than I think I expected, but that was good. But the level of play was really, really high, and so I guess I'm a little bit curious. Is the rest of the scene, you know, you got four or five OPs a week in Ottawa. You've got a reasonable player base. Canadian Nationals was held there last year. There was some good competitors. Then is the rest of the scene this competitive, or are your events like structured in a way that, maybe less competitive players can still participate and win stuff, or is it pretty much wreck face and you know, smash dreams?
Absolutely not. We actually do a lot of themes. We've done our fair share of Little Cup and, you know, Marvel versus DC, DC only, D&D only. You know, we've done other weirder things. We're about to do something with vanillas. We're taking out all the sidekicks, and where you pick two vanilla characters, and those are your sidekicks, and build a team around that. You know, special rule, you don't attack in the first two turns, obviously, because
No Lantern Ring.
That'd be bad. No Lantern Ring. But, you know, we try to do fun stuff. We try to get drafts in. We try to keep Unlimited present at least once a week within the multiple locations that are doing events. That way, those that like the competitive stuff, like us, we really love it. We thrive on it. We get it in, but we also get to play the game we enjoy as well with different facets, right? Which ends up making you a better player anyways, because you try different cards.
Yeah, this is one of the things you and I actually talked about before you smashed my dreams today. The game is just so fun. It's just, like, it's a game we love. Like, I'll play this game anytime, anywhere, whatever the format is.
Airport floor.
It was a table.
We had some time to kill, so we played in the airport. It's
fine.
But that's interesting. I think that's cool that's how the scene approaches it. And the one fun final question I want to get in right now is that, you know, on a day like today, where really one role goes differently in one spot, It changes the outcome. It changes the matchups. It changes, you know, who makes top eight. It changes. So there's this huge trickle effect, right? So I want to ask you guys, maybe how do you deal, because that can create some tilt. And I think tilt is an important thing to talk about on a podcast like this. So how do you guys deal with tilt, knowing that it's literally one side versus the next side on a die that could change the course of your whole day, and how long you play and how short you play, what your prizes are, the whole bit?
I'd say to go in never assuming that you will have the best rolls every time. No matter how much you plan on what you brought and what you buy in any order during every turn, you can't guarantee the outcome of every roll. And the difference between like a skilled competitive player and a casual player would be someone who really looks to increase their percentages on terrible rolls, understand what your worst roll is and how you could come back from that. There's frequently, when I think it was you, JT, when you were playing, where I'd see you roll a fist bolt and a shield early on, and you'd purchase a giant spider and then use red dragon for your polymorph, and every time I'd see that roll and like feel bad that you didn't have the masks, to Professor X, and you'd follow it up immediately by looking for three masks to get your ramp back on track and still roll your two purchases on the third turn, which I think was brilliant. And it's plays like that that I feel really help you improve in the competitive scene.
Cool.
If things like that are something that's really going to bother you too, maybe play a team that helps you with consistency, like the ring, for example. Like, yeah. If you're really worried about not hitting the right energy or not having something, you play something like that. Or, I mean, you can play Parallax if you want to start going down that rabbit hole. But yeah.
That can also increase tilt by quite a bit.
One thing that I notice on my teams, especially that I try to work out and get Mike to help me work out, is that if I have a certain buy order, at least if one thing is wrong, I have an option beside that.
Yeah.
You know, always having that backup option. Like right now, today I was playing, like, I go for Elf Thief, and then I go for Oracle. But I didn't get Oracle on turn two anytime. So my Gobby was the option.
Yeah.
And that works on the team too. It's just getting my, you know, getting some of my kill condition out earlier, or buying spray or something like that. Just having an option so that if you don't get it, and you can use it, basic blank energies, that's also helping.
Yeah, so honestly what I'm hearing is that most of avoiding tilt in this particular scenario and regarding how rolls can affect your day is really preparation, right? Yeah. Being prepared, what do I do with the garbage roll, and what do I do with, man, I'm unable to purchase what I thought I was going to do. So that really, to me, just sounds like preparation.
I mean, from my perspective, I take that cheating. Yeah. I'm a late arrival. I'm the judge for the weekend. And that's exactly it. That's my approach on tilt. I volunteer so that I can go and play at fun events, have my fun, but serious events, I can avoid the aggravation of it by being the one making sure everyone else is happy.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool.
I would say it's never good to ignore emotion as well. I mean, I felt like I made a fairly large misplay today by calling an Elf Thief with my Constantine Hellblazer over a Gobby versus one of these Gobby Parallax teams when he had three green goblins at his disposal and five sidekicks. It was an absolute blunder, and I don't feel bad about feeling upset about it a bit, because it will help me remember not to make that mistake again in the future.
Yeah.
And as long as I could keep that memory alive, it should improve my play in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I did the same exact thing last weekend in Morgantown, right? Like, I completely failed to pay for a Doom Caliber Knight against Blink Transmutation. Completely failed to do it. And it cost me a spot in the top four. And I was, I took 10 seconds in front of the competitor, and I was stewing a little bit, and then I said, look, you did exactly what you needed to do to win, congratulations, and I'll go beat somebody's face in, you know, because it was a cool sidekick team and all that, but you know, it was really a day or two until I was really like, okay, I'm going to use this, I'm going to use all the frustration I felt the next 2 days, I'm going to focus it, I'm going to use it to not miss that again, and today there wasn't a single time that, I mean, I faced Blink a couple times. There wasn't a single time that I missed the fact that Wolverine would be distracted. A couple times I used it because Wolverine would be distracted and I didn't have the energy. I was facing Oracle as well, so I only had one energy. Maybe I couldn't pay for Doom Caliber, but I never missed it, and I always used it to help avoid letting my opponent get full ramp. So I think you make an excellent point. Like, use that emotion. Don't ignore it. Don't sweep it under the rug. Don't avoid it. Anything you fail to clean up now, you're going to have to clean up later. I learned that when I was like five, and my mom.
That's why we don't throw dice.
Yeah. You're just going to have to clean it up later. So use that emotion. Put it to work for you, and be prepared. Or in the case of Shaw, if you know that's going to be an issue for you, avoid it and help make others have a good time. And it sounds like you're really comfortable with that decision.
Well, given I'm also one of our regular TOs in Ottawa for two of our four regular weekly events, it's what I do.
But it was nature.
It's a natural fit. Yeah. Well, cool. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. This is exciting for us to be here. And,
yeah, it really is great to have you guys up here. And, you know,
now we got to try a lot of Canadian food.
Food is on the agenda. But, yeah, it's great having you guys on the podcast, just giving us a little bit, you know, a different point of view, some different things, because, I mean, you guys play in a completely different meta than us, and so, you know, you guys see different things and plan differently.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate being invited.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for having us.
Well, thanks.
Thanks. And with that, we will be back in just a second.
All right.
And we're back. It is after
2 in the morning. It's been a long day, guys. We started playing at, what, 10 o'clock? 10 a.m. this morning. We finished up a while ago. We were done by, what, 11?
I think so, yeah, 11:30.
11:30. Then we headed out to get some food, came back here to do some recording. But so, the first qualifier of the day, qualifier number 2 for the weekend, I went ahead and ran Mask Ring team, just because that's what I felt comfortable with. That's, you know, a team I've played many times. So I wanted to play that in qualifier. Stuart and JT, what did you guys do in the first qualifier?
Stuart here, I ran a Mask Ring team as well. A little different than what Master Randy here took. But some of the same tech involved in it. And I've never run a ring team in my life. So it was a lot of fun to do it. I tended to buy the ring a little too late, or later than I should have. So, you know, lessons learned. It's fun running different teams, and if you know anything about me, that's what I do. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I took the same Beholder-imprisoned team that I played last weekend in Rochester. And, again, had a lot of fun with it. There was enough blue eyes floating around out there to take advantage of the Field Beholder, blue eyes, by Red Dragon for 3. And imprisoned can be a frustrating thing to play against, and so I took that today in the qualifier, thinking that it might frustrate some folks. And most of my games, I think maybe all but one went to time. But yeah, so ran that again this morning.
So how did you guys finish out in the first qualifier? Did you either guys make the cut, or I honestly don't remember. I'm legitimately asking.
Yeah, I went 2-2. I missed the cut.
I think I went 1-2-1 or 1-1-2 or one. Maybe it was 1-2-1. Maybe.
Okay. I went 3-1 running my Mask Ring team. I made the cut and then won my first match in top 8 and made the top 4, and I lost to Adam, an 11-year-old player. He was, great kid. I think we mentioned it before.
Total rockstar.
Either earlier in the podcast or on the blog we were updating. Yeah, Adam, great kid. I earned my, I waited till the 11th hour, but I earned my qualification for Canadian Nationals. So we took a break for lunch. I decided that, kind of based on the success of my Mask Ring team in the qualifier and just my comfort running it, I was going to run it again. I mulled over a few changes and ultimately decided that I wasn't going to change anything. I was just going to run the same Mask Ring team in the main event as I did in the qualifier. What did you guys do for a team for the main event?
We, JT and I, both ran the same team, and this is the team that Isaac and I both ran at our WKOs last weekend, which really centered around AVX Venom, a rare Venom, that gives -2/-2 to all characters that are not fists. So it kind of runs around that. It's got Constantine, Paladin, Helmet, Oracle, the pay an extra to do a global, Professor, Cerebro, the 3 cost that when you put it on a character card, they have to pay at least two to field that character. And missing one. What was the 8th? There's another character in there.
Bard.
Bard, yeah, duh. Yeah. The win con, yeah, and with Bard, the +1/+1 Bard. Isaac and I brewed that one up with a lot of help from other people too, and playtesting that, and that's what we played last weekend, and we played it this weekend, and that's why we were a little cryptic on the podcast last week with the reserve pool. We didn't want to give it away. And that's what we played with, and we had a lot of success, all of us did, in the qualifying rounds. I'll let JT talk a little bit about that.
Yes, in the Nationals, actually, I had not played that team as it was currently constructed at all. I talked with Stuart and Isaac a whole bunch about it. You know, did my due diligence with mental reps, but it, at its core, it's a mix of a Bard team and a Poly team, and both of those are styles that I felt familiar with, and so I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and run it. And I was very, very pleased with my play today. I don't know that I made any necessarily mistakes. We ran into a bit of a buzzsaw team that you can make no mistakes and you can do nothing wrong and still lose very, very hard to with that build. So went 3-1 in the Swiss, got the second seed, and lost to the guy, Eric, who eventually won the whole kit and caboodle. So congratulations to your new Canadian national champion, Eric.
Does that hurt you to say?
No, because I was the first ever.
Okay.
The original gangsta.
The original. The original. Yeah. No. I mean, I'm the 2015 Canadian national champion, and no one can ever take that.
Maybe
away
it's like
me.
President. Even when you're not president, you're still referred to as Mr. President. So
Mr. Champion.
Are you okay. Still Canadian national champion?
Emeritus. Not currently. Emeritus. Emeritus is good. Just throw the 2015 in there, that'll work.
Okay.
I lost the first game super fast. He went first, and I just didn't really stand a chance. Second game was going my way a little bit, and then you get to a point where some rolls or some bag draws play a role, and I had a chance. I missed something, and I thought, all right, he's got me on my next turn, and then he missed something. So that's just the way this game goes, and I certainly wouldn't pin a loss on missing something. I pin a loss on the fact that the team that those guys brewed up was just really, really strong and super competitive, especially against what we brought.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I mentioned my Mask Ring team. I took the popular Elf Thief, the one cost Morphing Jar, the Raven that protects all other Mask and Titan characters, the OP Scarecrow.
OCP Scarecrow.
OCP Scarecrow.
OCP Scarecrow.
So opposing characters with an attack of 2 or less cannot attack. The Oracle that makes globals cost an extra 1, Professor X, the Lantern Ring, and I threw the Half-Elf Bard on there as an alternate win condition, and that actually paid off for me a couple of times today. If I was having trouble getting the ring out, or if they had ways to maybe mitigate that damage, I would be able to buy the Bard, poly it in, and I already had enough different characters in the field to establish my control that I'd be able to swing for lethal. Took Polymorph and Blink Transmutation on there as well. Today was probably my best day of playing Dice Masters ever, to be totally honest with you guys. I made top 4 in the qualifier to start the day, and then I ran all the way to top 4 in the main event. I did beat Stuart several times along the way, and I felt pretty bad about that, but
he shouldn't.
we met in Swiss, and we were both 1-0 at the time, and we were pretty sure that most of the 2-2 teams were going to advance, and so we decided, you know what, one of us is going to be 2-0 after this and have a pretty clear path. So we played. I won. I finished 3-1 through Swiss. I was 3rd overall after the top 8 cut. Won my first match after the top 8 cut against Stuart again. That match was recorded, and so we'll have a video of that match up. And that was a fun match. I mean, I won, so I think it was pretty fun.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
But yeah, it was a good match. Both our teams kind of stalled and walled up, and it was who can break the stalemate first.
And this is actually a good video to watch because it's not an isolation video. It's not commentating, you know, from other people, or we're not muted. It's totally live. And so we're commentating through the entire match, so it's going to be a lot of fun to go watch.
There were a few times I reminded Stuart you were supposed to name the elf thief with Constantine.
Oh my gosh, I've played anti-hero for so long now, and putting Hellblazer back on it, that was my biggest fear, not naming stuff, and it got me twice. I only lost three games today in the Nats. Two were to Randy and one to JT.
Yep.
So I feel very good about that.
Yeah. And, you know, the match I lost in top four, I ran into the same team that JT mentioned earlier, this buzzsaw of a team, three guys from Ottawa that spoke earlier on the podcast, all ran this team. It was a good team. The other guy, Kevin, he went first, and I was able to stabilize the board, and if I would have got, you know, a few sidekicks to come up energy at a different time, I would have had the win. I was able to get some ring damage in there, but just not quite enough, and he was able to beat me shortly after. So, with my opponent going first, with that good of a team, with me still having a chance to win, and the dice coming up, you know, just not what I needed at the time, I can't be too disappointed in that. I made top four in a national event, and I mean, if you want to look back at past episodes of the Attack Zone, the first one where we talked about our weaknesses, I talked about how I've gotten jitters on the big stage before. I'll make critical mistakes right before, you know, a cut for the top four, top eight, and I'll miss out. And that didn't happen today. I was playing a team I was very comfortable with, and piloted it pretty darn well, and, you know, gave these other teams, even when they went first, an incredible run for their money, and I'm pretty satisfied with how the day went. What do you guys have to add?
Yeah, I mean, I'll reflect the same way. You know, after, you know, I think it was a month ago today, was Mexico for me, and after the disaster that was for me, you know, same kind of thing. I felt like I didn't play poorly, but it just didn't really go very well. So it was very demoralizing from that sense. So it's nice, you know, the last two weekends to do well, you know, win the WKO last week and come back here and make top four in one of the quals and make top eight at Nats. You know, I feel like I rebounded well and really learned from a lot of those mistakes, besides not naming something with Hellblazer.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I feel like I've grown so much over the last month. I've played more Dice Masters in the last 6 weeks than I probably have in the last 6 months. And so it's been great for a learning experience for me. And to finally meet these two cats live and hanging out, it's like we were best friends from the beginning. You know, it's just kind of crazy how we started, you know, halfway down the race already. We didn't start, you know, at the beginning. So it's been a really amazing adventure for the last few days.
Yeah, I can only echo all of that. It's certainly been a great time, a whole bunch of really good games, and really, really cool to connect with the community in Ottawa, but also to reconnect with some of the community from Montreal that came to Ottawa last year for Nats. So this morning after breakfast, we were walking back up to the room to get our teams and stuff ready, and just kind of standing in the hallway waiting for the elevator, and a group of guys walked past, and I made eye contact with one of them, and was like, I kind of recognize that guy, but I don't know him. I can't place him. I can't figure it out. I'm in Montreal. I don't frequent this location very often. I don't know how I would know this guy. And then you know, a half hour later, whatever, we go to the hall to get set up and play, and he's there, and he's sitting down, and he's, you know, looking like he's going to play Dice Masters, and I was like, hi, I'm JT, I can't help but think that I recognize you, and he said, yeah, we didn't really play last year, but sure, we were both at Canadian Nationals, and I was like, oh, that's awesome, will you remind me of your name, and Andrew, and then I looked beside him, and I recognized Ron, and I didn't remember Ron's name, but I played Ron in the top four, and I said, oh, hey, I recognize you too. We played in the top four. Will you remind me of your name? And then I looked next to Ron, and there's Luis. And I'm like, oh, Luis, wait, I didn't remember his name either, but I said, we played in the top eight, you know, and then beside Luis was Scott. I didn't remember Scott's name either, but we played in the Swiss. So it was just neat to see those guys and have some conversation and have some recognition and be able to chat about some things and really, that's the kind of thing, once again, that makes this community so great is that you have those connections, and when you're able to reconnect with folks like that, it just makes the whole day so much better. The only other thing I think I want to mention, I can think of one team in the national tournament that did not have Bard on it. Can you guys think of any others? It was just Tom's team, right?
Did Chad's team?
Yeah. Chad and Adam were both running it.
Yeah.
I think
what
everyone.
What about Petrus?
He had it in Nats. He didn't have it in the quals. He had it in Nats.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Bard is everywhere. Even if you're not running a team, like the team I was running, it was not a Bard team. But I had Bard on there for an alternate win condition, and I had to resort to it a few times.
Yeah, so 10 out of 11 teams in the national tournament ran Bard.
So basically, it's 7 slots now, people. Your 8 is the 8th is decided.
Yeah. That's I don't know. I think I'll have to digest that one a little bit more before I really have a feel for what that means.
It was an interesting landscape for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, we were already talking on the way back, walking from the diner, coming back. You know, all right. So how does this set up U.S. Nats?
Yeah.
You know, is there anything in Turtles? Maybe something we're missing. You know, I still think I need to go back and read all the cards again because even tonight, I saw a card on their team on the Ottawa guys team. That I'd read, I'd seen, I'd played around with, and then I really didn't actually realize what it did and how well it did it.
Yeah.
And when they explained it, we all just looked at each other and go, how did we miss this?
But we're not going to go over the details of their team. We're not going to spoil it. We'll let them do that if they feel the need. And when the videos are released of the CanNats events, you'll see those teams, you know, on the videos, and you know you can find out for yourself. But I don't feel like it's our place to sit here and say.
I'm sure it'll be on the blogs.
They'll do a great write up. I'm sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Mark my words. They'll do it. If they don't, I'll put a bug in Judgmental's ear, and he'll put it up. I'm sure they will.
Okay.
They went 1, 2, and 3 with it. Yeah. They're going to be happy about it.
Yeah.
Congratulations, guys. By the way, because it is a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
You'll see it soon.
They lost one game against not that team.
And that was to Randy, right?
They lost one game.
Beat the eventual national champion in Swiss, so I guess I can hang my hat on that.
There you go.
Yeah,
checkbox.
Yeah. I don't know, Canada's great, you guys. I've had a blast up here.
Canada is great. Poutine. Poutine?
Oh my
Poutine.
God.
Poutine. French fries, you know, covered with cheese curds, gravy, and
smoked meat.
Smoked meat,
yep.
Or peppers and pepperoni, or whatever.
More meat.
Whatever. Yeah, more meat. And even poutine with more meat on top of it. I mean, they're all great options. I was
not convinced that there were any French fries underneath the meat last night.
So yeah, if you go to Canada, try some poutine. If you're from Canada, man.
Sorry for mispronouncing it.
Yeah, sorry for mispronouncing it. And man, you guys have got it good up here. But yeah, it is now about 2:30 a.m. Stuart, how long till your flight boards?
Well, yeah, let me check my app here. I've got, it tells me, I have got 3 hours and 31 minutes till my flight boards.
Yeah. We've just foregone sleep tonight. We don't get to hang out with Stuart ever. This is the first time we've ever met him. So we're taking advantage of it. We're hanging out tonight. We're probably going to head to the airport in a couple hours and, you know, sleep on the flights home. So it's been a fun trip, guys.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Well, I guess from Randy, Stewart, and JT here at the Attack Zone. We're signing off.
Cheers.
See ya. Later.